Good morning, Centerpoint. Like for two decades now, since college, I've had this random dream that that one day I would be the long bearded, really tanned guy on the beach with the metal detector. You've seen him out there. He's got his metal detector. He's got his little scoop in his hand, maybe wearing a backpack. And when I envision this guy, he's not only tan, but he's got the big long beard, and he's got the big headphones on. And you've seen him out there. He's out there and he's scanning the sand. He's looking for whatever he's looking for treasure, right? He's not out there for no reason. He's trying to find his next fortune. And since college, I've wanted to be that guy. As a college student, I got to live at the beach for a couple of summers, and I remember watching those guys and wanting to ask them, like, what have you found? What treasures have you come across? And I remember the first time I ever did that. Like, truly, the first time I ever went up to these guys, and you get their attention, and they have to take their headphones off, and you know you're bothering them. They don't want to talk to me. But I go over and I say, man, I see you out here. Like, what have you found so far? And I remember the first time I asked someone that, he showed me what was in his bag, and he had found like 52 cents and some bottle caps or something. And I was like, is this typical? Like, is this how this normally goes? He's like, yeah, every now and then you may find a ring or a bracelet or something. Well, this is typically it, maybe a key, you know. And I went away being disappointed with the find, but I wasn't necessarily rid of the dream. I wanted to be that guy with the metal detector on the sand. And so this past Saturday, I took the bold step at making my dream a reality. Now, I'm not going to grow the beard, and I'm probably not going to get the tan, but I had a gift card. I had a gift card to a local sporting goods store. And so I took my three girls, two of which, they liked the thought of finding a treasure somewhere. And so we went to this sporting goods store, and I told them, I said, just hang out in the van for a minute. I said, I'll be right back. And they knew what I was going in for. They were very excited, but we had checked online. We knew they had one in stock. And I walked in, and I've got my mask on. You know, there's a mask order right now. And I walked in with my mask on, and there was a gentleman waiting there at the door of this sporting goods store. And I walked in, and he said, hi, can I help you? I said, yeah, you can. I said, you can tell me where the metal detectors are, because I'm about to buy one. I'm going to the beach, and I'm going to find a fortune. And he looked at me, and he knew I was joking. And maybe he looked at me as if to say, like, hey, maybe you're new here. You know, that doesn't really happen. But the metal detectors are back there. And so he got rid of me pretty quickly. I went back. I found the metal detector, the Bounty Hunter Tracker 4. Right? Pretty cool, huh? Living out the dream. I went up, I used my gift card, I added a little bit of cash to it, boom, went out, and we were just so excited. We were gonna get to the beach, and we were gonna find the hidden treasure that is Cocoa Beach. And so sure enough, we went out, we played in the water for a little bit, and it came time to figure out where the treasure was. Now, at the time, I didn't know if I needed headphones. I always saw the guy wearing headphones, but I didn't know if I was going to need them. And so I had my daughter reading kind of the specs to me. And I remember I'd gone into a pawn shop one time, and I remember seeing a few of these metal detectors in the pawn shop. And like, maybe that should have been my indicator that maybe metal detecting is not the way to find your fortune. You know, like nobody is pawning off their metal detector who's finding what they need on the beach. But I didn't let that deter me. And I thought maybe we needed some headphones, but we didn't. So I couldn't be the guy that day with the big beard. I don't have a big beard. I couldn't be the guy with the headphones. We don't have headphones. I didn't have a little scoop. I had little girls walking around with a neon green, you know, net. And so sure enough, there we were, Cocoa Beach, and we're waving this thing around, and I can't explain to you the excitement. If you don't believe me, go with me sometime. Let's go to the beach, and the excitement that comes across when you hear that thing beep. I mean, you feel like you're standing there holding a lottery ticket, and you know you're going to scratch them off, but you don't know what's inside. And so sure enough, every time it beeped, boom, excitement. Boom, excitement. Boom, excitement. I don't want to make anyone jealous. I don't want to send any pipe dreams up your way. I'm not telling you to go find a metal detector. But I want to tell you this. One day of metal detecting. And I don't want you to be jealous either. Like, don't get mad. Don't send angry emails about how extravagant my lifestyle is or anything. But I can tell you that one day after metal detecting, the Adams family is now the proud owner of 6 used tent spikes. Yeah. 2 used discarded bottle caps. 2 aluminum can pop tabs. Several rusty bobby pins. 2 other random pieces of metal, and a chip clip that we were very excited about. Who doesn't need an extra chip clip? And so, no joke, one day, just maybe even a half hour, 45 minutes of scanning this thing, we are now the proud owners of all that junk. Now, I had to paint it in a good light, right? Because my daughters, you know, some disappointment, like, oh, it's not a ring. It's not a box full of gold coins, you know. But at least we're getting some junk off the beach. And in fact, that's kind of the approach that I had to take, is like, we may not find anything of value. In fact, that's not why we're here. We're here to have fun as a family. We're here to enjoy the beach. We're here to have some fun when we hear this little beep. But we may never find anything of value. But at a minimum, we're getting some junk off the beach. Now, a few things kind of struck me about this day. It struck me that all of these little pieces of metal were sitting right under the surface of the sand. Now, invisible to the naked eye, because the Bounty Hunter Tracker 4, it's not a great metal detector. I think it'll search like 4 to 6 inches under the surface, you know. So we're not looking for stuff way down deep. We're looking for stuff that's just underneath the surface. And sure enough, it was interesting when it would beep and you would scrape away the sand, get down 2 or 3 inches, and sure enough, you could feel the tent spike. Or you could see the bottle cap. Or you could make out the can tab. And I went away from that day thinking just how much stuff lies beneath the surface of the sand. And I want to tell you, God took this very insignificant day of treasure hunting, and He started speaking to me in some crazy ways about the things that make up our lives. I couldn't get away from that image of the junk that's right underneath the surface. You see, the truth is nobody's going to give me anything for the junk we found that day. I made a joke to one of my friends. I said, you know, if I find the right buyer on a windy day, maybe I could sell 6 tent spikes for 25 cents, you know, and turn a quick coin that way. But that's probably not going to happen. At a minimum, I thought, we're getting rid of some junk. We're getting rid of some trash that's underneath the surface that we couldn't see before. I carried this image into this week with me as we've been walking through the Psalms together. And when we get to Psalm 139, we truly get to one of the token psalms. I mean, if you're not familiar with Psalm 139, I'd encourage you to take it in and to take it in often. And it ends with this prayer in verses 23 and 24, where the psalmist is just being so open to God and calling out to God to search Him and to test Him. Searching is exactly what we were doing on that day. We were searching for whatever we could find. We hoped for treasure, but we found none. Now, all images fall short. I don't intend to say to you today that there's no hidden treasure under the surface of our hearts. Absolutely there is. But as we've been embracing the Psalms throughout this summer, one of my challenges for us has been this question: could we take some of these ancient words, these ancient prayers, these ancient lyrics, these ancient expressions, and what if they could become for us new, up-to-date prayers, new, fresh expressions of calling out to God to move and act on our behalf? And so just as surely as we went searching on that day and we found so much beneath the surface, the psalmist goes to God, asking God to search him out. I can't get away from the language right there in verse 23. The writer says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." I got to tell you, this has been such a trying time for people throughout our country and around the world. And as a pastor, I am in conversation with people, and I know that many of the people that I'm interacting with, they're concerned about the things that are being revealed in their hearts, are being revealed in their minds in these days. These have been troubling days for some of us. But the psalmist comes to the Lord in this posture of vulnerability, as almost like a child coming to a father, which we just sang about, but coming to a loving father to say, will you search me? Will you seek what's inside of me? Will you test me and let me know what you discover underneath the surface? Here's the truth. It could be that when the Lord takes the detector and starts waving it over the expanse of our hearts or waving it over the expanse of our thoughts, maybe there's some stuff that we need to deal with. Maybe there's some stuff that we need to discard. And the word that I couldn't get away from was truly the word hidden. God, would you search me and know my heart? Would you test me and know my thoughts? In other words, would you put my life under an investigation? That's the literal word there in the Hebrew. Would you put my life under an investigation to see what is hidden right now? Can I tell you today, church, by way of the God that we serve, there is nothing in your heart, there is nothing in your mind that's going to overwhelm God. There's nothing hidden under the surface of your heart or your mind that's going to overwhelm God in such a way that He's going to look in another direction or He's going to turn His back on you. God is the one who comes searching. God is the one who comes looking to seek out what's underneath the surface. But here's what happens. He only comes searching and looking as the psalmist gives him permission. It's truly a prayer. He's praying to God. God, take your metal detector and wave it over my heart and see if there's anything there that's not of you. God, wave it over my mind and my thought life and see if there's anything not of you. See if there's anything hidden from my sight. You see, there's nothing hidden from God's sight. Can I tell you today, Center Point, that when God waves his proverbial metal detector over your heart and your mind, there's nothing that's going to surprise him. There's nothing that's going to overwhelm him that he could find deep in your heart or just below the surface. There's nothing he could find deep in your mind or just below the surface that's going to surprise him or overwhelm him or take him back. The psalmist is asking God, wave your metal detector over my heart and my mind to see if there's anything that's hidden from me. Anything hidden that I need to deal with. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Now the word used there in the Hebrew for thoughts is the word cares. Psalm 55:22 says, cast your cares on the Lord and He will sustain you. In other words, cast your anxious thoughts. And I want to go down just a small list this morning. Center Point, to what extent is your mind full of anxiety today? Full of grief today? Center Point, is there any way today that fear is lurking beneath the surface of your mind? Is there any way that you're not taking your thought life captive to the obedience of Christ? I know there's some of us today, when we think about our inner world, our thought life, what's beneath the surface, what's hidden from ourselves and what's hidden from others, we find fear. Some of us today, we find loneliness. We find anxiety about our health or the health of family members and friends. We're concerned about the future. We see finances being wrecked as jobs are being lost and the economy struggling. We're concerned about loved ones, those that are lost or far off or are struggling in some way. I know there are relational issues right now that are wreaking havoc on hearts and minds, and it's causing anxiety. And I know that we're concerned about the state of our country, what the future looks like for us. And I wonder today, are there any ways that the Lord needs to come in and He needs to examine our thought life? He needs to examine our minds. And when He finds something, He needs to be able to brush back the sand and deal with what is there. Is there anything in your mind today? Maybe it's hidden from your sight. Maybe you've done a good job keeping it hidden from others, a thought life that would be destructive, or a thought life that would be embarrassing for you or your family, or a thought life that would be dishonoring to God, or a thought life that would take you down a path that you do not want to go down, and you need God to expose it before it's too late. Centerpoint, would you today let God brush back the sand and start to deal with whatever He may find underneath the surface? Well, the writer goes on. He says, not only search my heart and my mind and see what you find there. He asked God this specific question. He says, will you see me and see if there is any offensive way in me? One of my fears as a pastor throughout this time of quarantine has been the subtle and the not so subtle ways that the enemy has used isolation as a tool to get to the hearts and the lives and the homes of people. And I don't know what that looks like for you, but I know that it takes a great vulnerability to be able to come before God and say, God, open me up, see me, test me, know me, investigate me, and see if there's any offensive way in me, any wicked way in me. So I want to ask you today, church, would God, if He started exposing the surface, would God have to look very far to find anger in your heart today? How far would God have to look to find lust in your heart today? Or greed? Or worry? You see, the tricky part about the thought life is that the thought is the initiator that leads us to action. And so the writer is following a pretty common thread about how thought life plays into action. And action, if and when it becomes habit, the action starts to dictate life. God doesn't want us going down destructive paths. He doesn't want us experiencing destructive patterns. God means for us life, and that's where the writer ends. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and if there is, if there's not, lead me in the way everlasting. And so as we seek to find new expressions of prayer and of praise and of calling out to God today, if Psalm 139, 23, and 24 could become for us a prayer, could we pray it in a vulnerable state to a God that we know loves us, already knows what's underneath the surface, and wants to deal with the junk of our lives? God wants to deal with the junk of our lives in loving, redemptive, gracious, everlasting life kinds of ways. Church, is there anything hidden today? Maybe hidden to you, or maybe that you've done a good job keeping hidden from others, that today the Lord is ready to scrape back the surface and reveal it and deal with it in a loving way. Would you be willing to pray that prayer of Psalm 139? One of the ways that by the time we get into the New Testament church, one of the ways that Paul articulates this life is in Romans chapter 12. I love the way the writer translates this, but I wonder if you could hear this today. Take it to heart. Paul says, here's what I want you to do. You say, Dwayne, what if I let God search my heart? Dwayne, what if I let God test my mind and know my anxious thoughts? What if I let God truly see me and find if there's any offensive way? Then Dwayne, what do I do then? Where do I go then? How do I respond then? How do I rebuild then? And Paul gives us an answer. He says, here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your eating, you're sleeping, you're going to work, you're walking around your metal detecting life, and place it before God as an offering. Center point, embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living then, as every one of you does, in pure grace, it's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No. God brings all of His goodness to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God does and what God is, not by what we are and what we do for Him. Friends, we serve a gracious, loving God that on so many levels wants to deal with that is underneath the surface of our hearts and our minds. And friends, I know that along the way, as God uncovers that which is underneath the surface and He wants to deal with ways that are offensive, ways that bring dishonor to Him because they bring dishonor to others, ways that bring hurt to Him because they hurt ourselves and others, ways that are full of pride and exalt self, all of the ways that God wants to deal with those realities in our lives as He spreads the surface of the sand to see what's right underneath. It could be that along the way, He starts to pull up some junk that He finds is not only underneath the surface, it might be deep rooted in our hearts and our minds. You see, my fear for us today, church, is not that God would find some things just underneath the surface that could be easily dealt with, easily redeemed, easily walked away from. My burden for us today as a people, as a church, is that God might start to deal with the deep-rooted realities of sin in our lives. Whatever that sin looks like, may the Spirit of God start to come in our lives to deal with any deep-rootedness as it relates to lust and greed and pride and racism. I don't know what it looks like for you today. I don't know what it would mean for you today to allow God to open up your heart and your mind and start sifting the sand away to see where do we need to go, what conversations do we need to have, how do we need to move and pivot and change and turn to go in the way that God has for us. But I believe that today it could start with a prayer. It could start with the words of the psalmist. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Friends, to walk with God is not about what you can bring to God or what you do for God. To walk with God is to embrace who God is and what God does on your behalf. And friends, today God wants to bring healing into your heart and into your mind and into your home. Would you trust Him today for that? So before we pray, I just want you to hear these lyrics, hear these words, the song, Psalm 139. Take them in, take them to heart, and may they move us this morning as we go into a time of prayer. Mm-hmm.
everything is brighter. I see a picture of what I can be. My life will never flee from what I've seen. Your heart is my desire. If I climb to the heights, you'll be there. If I make my bed in hell, you'll lead me home. Before the earth existed, you knew me. You called me to holy, I will praise you for the way I'm made. How precious are the thoughts you think of me. Could anybody count them? They are greater than the sands by the sea. Search me and know all my heart. If I climb to the heights, you'll be there. If I make my bed in hell, you'll lead me home. You'll lead me home. You'll lead me home. Heart, please search me through. Does anything displease you? Lead me in the way of your cross. Where can I run from your love? You search me. If I climb to the heights, you'll be there. If I make my bed in hell, you'll lead me home. You'll lead me home. There
came a point last week when we started finding things on the beach. I just asked my girls, I said, isn't it interesting to think that all of these little items, junk though they are, were so close to us, but we couldn't see them. I've talked to you before, Center Point. We've got to have people in our lives, brothers and sisters, friends and mentors, family members who love us enough to pull us aside and tell us what they see in us. We've got to have people in our lives that we can go to and say, hey, what do you see in me? When you look below the surface, what do you see that I don't see? What do you experience that I'm unaware of by what I say or how I say it or what I do or how I do it or what I don't do and why I don't do it or whatever it may look like for us? And I realize today, church, we serve a God that does not invade a space to which God hasn't been welcomed or invited. The gracious call of verses 23 and 24 in Psalm 139 is giving God an invitation Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any hidden offensive way in me, and lead me into your way of life. And friends, my hope for us today is that we might invite God to come in and start scratching the surface to deal with some of the realities that are at work in our hearts and minds that we would rather keep hidden. And I hope, I pray that somewhere along the way, He might start pulling up some piece of junk that needs to be dealt with and healed and redeemed in our lives, and that He may discover that it's a deeper rooted issue, and that His Holy Spirit might start to reshape us and refine us from the inside out. So center point, wherever you are right now, whatever you're doing, I just want to invite you to take a posture of open hands. Would you do this with me this morning? Would you take a posture of open hands, and would you call out to God with me? Search us, O God. Know our hearts. Test us and know our anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in us, O God, and lead us into a way everlasting. Lord Jesus, we call out to you today to be a redeemer and a healer and a grace giver in our lives. God, as your people, we don't want to walk around this life blind to the realities of the things that make up hurt or that bring hurt into our lives or others. So God, if there are hidden ways in us today that need to be exposed and dealt with, would your love start to do that for us? To start to sift back the sand and to see what's underneath the surface. And God, in the midst of seeing what's underneath the surface, God, would you begin to expose any deep-rooted realities in our hearts and our minds today that are not pleasing to you, that are keeping us from following after your will and your way, that are thwarting your plan for our lives and our families and our church and the work that you've called us to, oh God. God, we confess today that we don't want to be healed from the inside out just so we have a more content life. We don't want to be healed from the inside out because we personally would have more joy. God, we need to be healed from the inside out so that a renewed thought life, that a renewed heart, that renewed hands and feet would call us to a renewed reality of following after your will and way to fulfill your purposes for us in this world. So God, if there are hidden ways, God, that we've been blind to, that others around us have been blind to, that we've kept under the surface but have caused a thwarting of your will for us, God, would you expose them today and would you start to heal them as only you can? Here we are, God, calling out to you, wanting to be moved and shaped and molded by your Holy Spirit in our lives. God, heal us. And God, I pray that in the midst of this pandemic, God, we're going on 4 months now, and I know that there's been havoc just wreaked in the lives of families and homes and hearts and minds. And God, today we want to come before you professing victory is in you. This time does not belong to the enemy. This time does not belong to sin-saturated culture. God, this time belongs to your Holy Spirit redeeming and refining us as your people. So God, we come to you this morning asking that you would do that. Investigate us, O God. Examine us, O God, and better shape and mold us into the people that you would have us be. And God, for anything good that would become of us, we'll turn back to you. We'll give you alone the thanks and the praise that you deserve. And God, we will primarily give you thanks and praise by living your way out in the world around us. We love you today. We thank you for this morning of worship. We pray your blessing in our lives and in the community around us. And all God's people said, Amen.